What's up, everybody? We are back again. Another episode of Octagon Control. Second episode of the week. Our last episode, obviously previewed Wednesday's card. Chris, before we go into any significant breakdown, what are your initial thoughts?
I think Luke Rockhold is back as a real guy to watch at 185 pounds. That was the first thing. Between him and TJ Dillashaw, I think there's two guys that you have to look out for in their respective divisions from now and into the future. I thought those were the two most consequential fights on the card, and they both won convincingly and albeit in different ways. But I think both guys in there, Dillashaw's still going to be a little bit down the ladder, I think. I think he probably gets a top 10 opponent, but he's not going to get quite thrown to the wolves yet. I mean, maybe the winner is Yu Zhibwe and Eddie Wineland would make sense for him. And we're obviously do matchmaking, but Luke Rockhold, I think, you know, he's in for something. He's not going to get obviously a belt for it, but maybe he gets a winner of Jacare and Carmo, or maybe he fights Michael Bisping, or maybe he fights Tim Kennedy. I think there's some legit option for him now at 185 pounds.
Yeah, Luke Rockhold looked outstanding. You know, Costa Philippou, he's not exactly anyone that I think any of us are overly impressed with. He's a serviceable fighter, but he's very one-dimensional. There's no doubt about that. But Luke Rockhold did what you're supposed to do. And, you know, he ate him up with kicks.
Philippou said he couldn't breathe after Rockhold landed that liver kick on him.
I believe it. I've felt liver kicks. It's very difficult to breathe. But, yeah, for Luke Rockhold, you know, he was largely in the fight with Vitor prior to the head kick. He, you know, obviously had an outstanding strike force career, and he's defeated Jacare, who's technically ahead of him in the rankings, and he's defeated Tim Kennedy, who's won, you know, a few straight. This is a huge win for him, and there's, you know, it's hard to look and say, well, what fights make sense for him? Obviously Jacare would be a nice fight. Machida's probably too far up the ladder, but and Jacare, I don't know if they want to do that rematch just yet.
Yeah.
But the hard thing is, you look at Michael Bisping, and I think there's a fight there between him and Tim Kennedy. There's no doubt about that. Michael Bisping and Tim Kennedy. And logically, it doesn't make sense if you're Luke Rockhold, I don't think. I think he's a far better fighter than Michael Bisping.
See, well, I mean, the thing is there, at least you could sell it. That's one thing about that fight. And I don't think I think I'm a tad bit higher in Bisping than you are, but I don't think there's a doubt that I think he's a top five middleweight right now.
Bisping's a top five middleweight?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
All right, let's go through this really quick.
Let's go. I can Weidman.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Are we counting Anderson Silva?
I'm counting Anderson Silva.
Okay, so then I'm going to go Weidman.
Anderson Silva. Vitor.
Okay, so I'd have him at six.
Jacare.
Okay, so
Rockhold.
I'd have him. Well, here's the thing, though. Based on his resume,
I would Machida. I'm at seven now.
Okay. I'm going to go, based on the resume, I would go Weidman, Silva, Belfort, Jacare, Machida, Bisping. So I have Bisping at six.
But if I look at resume, too, I look at Michael Bisping as a guy that doesn't ever deserve to be in the top five because he can never beat a top five opponent. This is the same guy that's lost to Vanderlei Silva. You know, he beats who he should beat, the outside the top 10, you know, top 15, top 20 guys. And he loses to very talented fighters.
But, I mean,
that's his career.
But he also has, he has beaten Munoz. Not Munoz. He has beaten, you know, Brian Stan. He has some good wins on his ledger. I think that's hard to knock. Some of them, I guarantee, he has fought some guys that were lower.
Jorge Rivera,
Jason Mahan Miller. But at the same time, you look at Luke Rockhold, and yes, he's beaten Jacare. Yes, he's beaten Tim Kennedy. But other than that, the guy with the biggest name on his win list is Keith Jardine, the 2012 version of Keith Jardine. At least with Michael Bisping, he's been around for a little bit longer. It'd be a close fight between those two, and I definitely think they're fairly evenly matched. But I think right now, just based off resume, I would argue that I think that Bisping would be just a tad ahead of him in the rankings. And he also has just won a lot more in the UFC.
Would they schedule Bisping coming off a loss and a long layoff against Luke Rockhold coming off a win?
If I'm not mistaken, Bisping is coming off a win.
Is he?
He beat
Belcher.
He beat Alan Belcher.
Belcher, yes.
But I think right now, the problem with Rockhold is that I think Kennedy Bisping is just too obvious of a fight to make. I think the heat between the guys is just very real. Bisping definitely has some heat with Rockhold.
A terrible trash talker, though, Bisping.
I think he's a little funnier than you think he is. Well, I mean, like...
He's not as clever, I can say. We will say that, I think.
But, you know, I think he's just unlikable. I mean, he's definitely a heel. Except, you know, he's a heel, which is sellable. With Rockhold, there's this dispute between them that Bisping beat him up in training. Rockhold acknowledged, but that he basically said was, I've been on a bender for 2 weeks before that, and I showed up hungover, and I still was switching stances and looked okay.
And it's training.
I mean, that's a source of pride. Like, I get that, but...
I've gotten my ass handed to me multiple times.
With Rockhold right now, if you look at the UFC rankings, this is like where you should... I mean, I'm going to get kind of going on like a semi-rant here, but this is where like Yushin Okami would be perfect, because he's still a top 10 guy, probably coming off a lower rank win, and Rockhold's a good gauge for his at. So right now in the top 10, Weidman's obviously fighting Belfort. Jocker is fighting Carmo. Bisping is fighting... Gonna fight Kennedy. I don't think there's a question about that. Machida's fighting Musasi. Machida's getting a title shot if he wins that fight.
You know what else kind of sucks? If Brian Stann didn't agree to just go balls to the walls with Wanderlei Silva in a fight he most likely would have won, let's say he doesn't hang it up, that's even a fight you could have made.
Right. But so the thing is, like, Rockhold, I think the only way he really comes out of this, like, with a clear, logical guy is if Jacare beats Carmo, then Weidman fights Machida, assuming he beats Musasi. He can rematch Jacare in a number one contender. But that's the best case scenario for Luke Rockhold here. Otherwise, he's going to have to take a fight against... He might have to wait to fight the winner of Bisping Kennedy or fight someone outside the top 10 coming off a win. Like, he could... He's out of the top 15 right now, but...
Maybe they'll throw Brad Tavares
at him. That's what I was going to say. I mean, that's a bad case scenario for him. It's a very winnable fight, but it's also a guy who's not even ranked, and he's coming off fighting a guy who, even today, is still a top 10 middleweight.
Yeah, so, you know, that's obviously a rough one. TJ Dillashaw. First off, the guy is outstanding. What Dwayne Ludwig is able to do is unbelievable. There's no doubt about that with these guys. And let's think of it this way. Was it Rafael Assuncao he fought?
Yeah, he fought
Assuncao. And lost.
In Brazil.
And it was a close decision, one that I think a lot of people felt went his way. Let's imagine for a second that... Well, he could realistically be in the shot that Uriah Faber was in. If he would have won that fight, if that went his way, it's entirely possible. I think Faber still would have gotten it. But he would have been right there as opposed to, was he six in the rankings now? Somewhere around there?
Yeah, in the UFC rankings right now, he is number six, while Sunsao is number three. And it's funny because Sunsao is going to fight on UFC 170s, but he's fighting Francisco Rivera, who is number 10 right now.
Yeah.
And Dillashaw's probably, look at the rankings, he's either going to fight, I think, a Yujibwe or a Weiland. Weiland wins that fight, he's number four. He's going to get in line. I mean, fair or not, he's going to get a big fight coming out of this.
And Weinland's a talented fighter, there's no doubt about it.
Probably the gatekeeper in this division right now. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, he's fought in, you know, he fought Pickett, beat him, he fought, and he got a title shot, lost to Barao. I think he's probably, you know, he's probably the gatekeeper. He's the gatekeeper at 135, in the same way, like a Joseph Benavidez is unfortunately going to be a flyweight.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And it just shows how talented that these guys are. You know, there's no doubt about that. And he's 24, I think. He's young. He is a very young fighter. So this is one of the things that loss was an acceptable setback for him. You know, same with the John Dodson loss. Those are things that he can sort of forget about in his career because of how much he's changed as a fighter. There's no doubt he is going to be a force at 135, and he'll probably be there for a long time coming.
The one thing I think that's kind of maybe working against him a little bit is his age. You know, he is a prospect. Well, he's only 27. I mean, it's not like Weidman, where Weidman's already in his 30s, which is weird to think.
But I thought he was 29. 20,
okay, but Weidman's... I'll tell you how old he is in a second. But, I mean, the same thing. It's just, he is farther along to develop. He's not like a super young guy. John Jones is only 23. John Jones is 26, want to say, you know? Weidman is 29. Okay, Weidman's 29 years old, but he's only fought 11 times. Dillashaw's 27. thought he was older than that for some reason. But I definitely think he's, you know, he's right there. I want to see him round out his game a tad bit more. But I think he's going to be an interesting spot because I feel like Alpha Male will just won't fight each other.
No, I mean, if there's any fight camp that is a true family, it's them.
I'm gonna float out an interesting idea for you right now.
Shoot.
All right, let's say Faber wins on February 1st, beats Barao. Totally conceivable, right?
Yeah, very conceivable. Definitely.
Barao and Faber probably wouldn't trilogy right away.
Yeah.
Right, I would say they wouldn't. Dominic Cruz would be the logical guy, I think if I was him, I'd want one fight. But how about if he takes it one fight? How about TJ Dillashaw? I mean, that's a big step up. It's tougher. You could argue with Sun Tzu just by virtue of beating Dillashaw deserves it a little bit more. But for me, it would be hard to argue that wouldn't be a very interesting sell. That might be much more sell.
Oh yeah, it could be. You know,
it's mini favorite.
Yeah, it's Alpha Male coming to get their revenge.
Because
he's taken out Benavidez and Faber.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, that could be...
It's a very interesting
fight. It's off the wall. I think that's unlikely, because I feel like Cruz is going to just get one relative contender go to the belt. But Dillashaw might not be that guy, because if he does beat Cruz, I don't think that fight can happen.
No.
If it's still Faber with the belt. But that all depends on what happens on February 1st.
Now, let's do a little bit of fantasy matchmaker. We've sort of done it already, but three lesser fights. Chris, why don't you start off and give me an idea of what you sort of come across.
Well, this card to me was kind of, I don't know if it was exactly, there's just not a lot of consequential bouts. I think that was one thing that I'm talking about. But the first thing I want to say is I think the most obvious fight for me to make on the card is to go Cole Miller versus Conor McGregor when Conor McGregor returns.
Although he called out Cowboy.
Yeah, that's not realistic. Cowboy's not going to 145.
I hope not.
God, I hope not. But Cole Miller, McGregor in Ireland, and when McGregor makes his return, slam dunk fight booking for me. I think that's the best thing you could do. It would definitely be the most talented opponent McGregor's fought. They could sell it. I think it would help if they put it like in a co-main. It could probably put the fight in the co-main event on an Ireland card, and put because he's obviously coaching tough over in Asia right now, but like a Kung Lee type that you can like use to draw in some fans. You know, I'd be down for that.
You know what? I was just looking at this card and I was looking at some names. And first off, I just want to say I was correct with Yoel Romero.
Yeah, I was wrong about Brunson.
Just wanted to make that clear. But Yoel Romero, you know, he has that wrestling background, but he's more of a striker. He uses that wrestling defensively. I think it's safe to say that.
And even it does look flawed, like a Dan Henderson's like Olympic wrestling isn't exactly the best.
Would you be opposed, and this is just off the top of my head, Uriah Hall, Yoel Romero?
That's like where I was going to go with him, actually, because it's the kind of guy that's going to have to make Uriah Hall fight. And that fight would have a lot of intrigue. I would, and it'd be a gauge.
And we saw what happens when Uriah Hall has to fight. Listen, Chris Leben isn't what Chris Leben used to be. But the man can still finish you.
Yeah.
And that's a fight where he had to be there.
And with Uriah Hall, it also would be, it would be a gauge to how he deals with a guy who's as quick. And I mean, looking at the guys he's beat since he's, you know, kind of went on this little UFC run, he beat Clifford Starks, Honey Marks, and Derek Brunson. Not exactly the most, I mean, I like Derek Brunson a lot as like maybe a potential top 15, 85-er, but he isn't exactly a super agile, clever striker.
No. And he was definitely peeing blood today after those shots.
Yeah, Yoel Romero also pooped himself, so there's that. But,
in the words of Jason High, he accomplished more than most of us do on the toilet.
Yeah, this is exactly right about that. I mean, I just read newspapers, so...
Look in the life of Chris Manning.
It's enlightening, I tell you. But, you know, I think I love that fight. I think that would, to me, make perfect sense for where they're both at and their... Romero's 38, so I mean, the clock's ticking, so why not? That fight make a lot of sense to me. And then from there, to me, the most frustrating guy in this card was John Moraga. You know, I'd hate the scoring of that fight, but it's clear that he's got really, really good DS style boxing and some decent game off his back. but he can't defend the takedown to save his life.
Which is weird because his whole thing is his wrestling.
Right. So here's the fight I'm going to throw for him. I'm going to say, I'm looking at the flyweight roster. It's still, it's thin, if we're being honest. The two names that I have, one that I think will make the most sense, and then one that makes a little bit less sense. First one, I think, will be the winner of Formiga and Jorgensen. I think, or the winner of the Makovsky fight, which is coming up. I think either one of those would work. Or if you want to go really off the wall, how about Benavidez? Benavidez would be, it might be the most exciting fight they can make out of that group. Just because Benavidez could wrestle him, but he also might be more willing to stand and trade with Moraga. High upside, if Moraga does beat Benavidez, you could sell that,
Yeah, you could sell it.
But I think he ultimately gets a lower.
A lot of people, I didn't have the opportunity to see it. I know a lot of people thought that he lost the fight.
I thought he won. I was worried for him, but I also wouldn't have hated if Dustin Ortiz did beat him, because he just was, his wrestling was kind of dictating where the fight would take place in most situations.
But I think this also shows something about John Moraga. He's not at the level of the other flyweights. He's not John Dodson. He's not Joseph Benavidez. He's not Demetrius Johnson. He went from beating Darren Uyeo, now whatever his last name is, I can't pronounce it at the moment. He went from defeating him on a Facebook prelim to getting a title shot. Uyeo Naoyama is now, he lost to, was it Ali Bagatinov in his last fight? I might be wrong with the name, but I know he lost his last fight, I believe.
You're talking about
Darren Uyeoyama.
I can't remember who he fought last.
I don't think he's at that level of the other guys. Each of these guys have something special that John Moraga doesn't have. Benavidez, he's got power. John Dodson has middleweight power. I mean, his is absurd. And Demetrius Johnson has the best footwork and probably the fastest hands in the UFC. John Moraga doesn't have that. So these are going to be gritty fights, especially when he's a taller fighter and his one skill is something that other guys with quicker hands can defeat him with.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Last guy I want to ask you about on this card is a guy you mentioned, we've talked about Ted, but is Brett Tavares. I'm not super high on him as a 185 prospect. I think I thought Lorenz Larkin, I don't know who I picked. I can't remember who
we've all picked for Larkin.
I just he didn't exactly fight how I expected him to. But he Larkin was top 15 at the beginning of this fight. I'm checking right now. It's at the middleweight division.
I looked at names.
He's 13.
I looked at names. I saw 15. I'm not sure. Talis Latis, maybe.
Yeah.
It's an interesting fight. Boch is another interesting fight.
And he deserves someone in that range. I mean, by virtue. I mean, he might not get it. But he probably deserves it. For whatever reason. I mean, that's just kind of where he's at. Or maybe just for fun, Tohuna. Just when Tohuna comes down to 85. Or maybe Filipu Tohuna.
Yeah, there's a lot of names. Did you say Filipu Tohuna?
Tohuna's coming down to 185.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a fight you make.
He said he weighs in at 205, like, easy every day. He doesn't really cut weight.
He does. He looks like he cuts weight. He's built like a tank.
Yeah.
So, those are, fantasy matchmaker. Next week, what? UFC on Fox, we got Henderson and Thompson.
Yeah, interesting card.
It is an interesting card. It really does suck that Anthony Pettis had to pull out, because this could easily eliminate a contender. Because as good as Benson is, he's not a contender for the belt for a long time.
Unless you're Pettis Lutis.
Unless Pettis Lutis. Now, the other card, there is one tonight. I guess I should probably plug it.
Yeah, it's part of your job.
It is part of my job. The Maximum Fighting Championships, Axis TV. Two title fights headlining it. Mark Pavlich. It's Canada. What else could you want? Maple Syrup. Maximum Labatt, Fighting Championship. Labatt Blue. Labatt Blue Hockey and Maximum Fighting Championship.
Crown Royal Whiskey.
Now, Have you been looking at the card at all, Chris?
Are you going to hit me if I say no?
No, I'm not.
I have not.
Pull up the card, though.
I know Gilbert Smith's on it.
Gilbert Smith is on it.
What's the number?
It is MFC 39. It is tonight, I believe, 10 p.m.? I don't want to get this wrong, or that would be bad for my job. But I feel I should...
He was a guest in the show once.
I should more than likely abstain from picking.
So you know what I'll do? How about I give you... I'll give you some... Okay. Let's look at this. Daryl Schoonover's on this card.
Yeah, he is fighting for the title, as is...
Oh, dude.
Kurt Southern, Tom Galicchio.
Yeah.
And a hell of a lot of injuries on this card, I'll tell you
that. Yeah, no, I heard about him freaking out on Monday.
Well, yeah. Fighter got injured on Monday. Fights are Friday.
Yeah, I guess, you know, this is MFC. I'm not going to pick some. I don't want to do it, you know, without having, you know, analyzed it better. Like, we're going to pick UFC and Fox 10. But I do think that MFC, I do like them as, like, a lower, as a, one of the regionals. I do think.
And one of their veterans is on the Tough Nations.
Yeah, you know, and they have some guys that I like that come out there. Obviously, I can't think of his name. Elvis Muchapchik.
Yeah, he.
Ryan Hingimo. Both all guys who fought in the MFC at some point or another.
Hamilton's, you know, obviously been on the end of some very vicious knockouts. Southern is getting some praise as a lightweight in Canada. Sam Alvey, smiling Sam Alvey, he's in there. Yeah, 185 pounds.
Not cutting ridiculous weight.
No, yeah, that was absurd. Chris, did you watch Tough Nations?
I did not, because I have a life.
Ouch.
Yeah, because... Okay, I'm going to just... The hardest thing for me as a UFC fan is that... Is it just, like, someone, you know, just a fan of MMA? I'm just not so interested in all these different Toughs. I'm for sure not going to watch the Tough China one. Because
I don't even think you can find it.
Either way. I mean, the only one I might watch is just Chael and Vanderlei.
Oh, I'm watching
I'm
that
probably going to watch that on Fight Pass.
You have to.
But... At the same time, I also really don't want to... I mean, Tough Nations, like... Kyle Noken and freaking Patrick Cote are fighting it. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's... I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's not...
I can't get... I'll pay attention to the results of the fights, maybe, and, like, watch the fights if there's something. But I don't have the time to sit down and watch, like, an episode of Tough Nations.
I guess this is where you and I differ, because I'm perfectly okay with watching people punch each other in the face.
I see, like, if I'm going to go on Fight Pass and, like, watch something... I'm going to look at... You know what I did last night before I went to bed?
Watch an old Affliction event and laugh at how bad the backstage announcing is?
No.
I've done that.
You know what I did right before I went to sleep, and this might speak to how the kind of dreams I had last night? I watched Brian Stann and Vanderlei Silva throw bungalows at each other
last
night.
That's a good fight.
That's what I did before I went to bed last night.
Very good fight. Yeah, you know,
there's a lot about me that I did that before
I went to bed. It does.
That's up fine.
And we're a couple weeks sort of removed from... Here's the other thing I wanted to talk about. Bellator. We troll them so much.
God,
we make fun of them so much. And they have now made their, quote, championship clause, unquote.
Worst. Oh, this is awful.
Which they have now used to give a second title shot to Pat Curran against Daniel Strauss, who dominated him even after an illegal knee. And obviously the Bellator fighters are speaking out. Daniel Strauss was confused. Pitbull was furious, to say the least. And obviously, you know, Bellator is going to do their little song and dance. But it basically shows that their tournament is BS. It's BS. It's Viacom. It's not Bjorn Rebney. It's not Bellator. It's Viacom.
Yeah, and they're clearly... Daniel Strauss was very vocal. In a couple different things I saw with him getting kind of frustrated about this. It's clear that they want Pat Curran to be champ.
Oh, no doubt.
They want him as the champ.
Well, wouldn't you if you weren't positive at all about what was going to happen to your champion?
Well, and not only that, they've invested so much time and money into Curran. I get why they're doing it, but I also don't think it's right. I think you stick with the tournament. It's clear that they're not sticking to it fully. And they just kind of, again, look kind of stupid.
Foolish?
They
kind
of look stupid.
They have egg on their face.
Like, I like it. I overall enjoy the Bellator product. Like, it's definitely my... I think, overall, it's probably the second best. But they just do some things that are goofy sometimes and kind of make me scratch my head a little bit.
Is it conceivable that World Series of Fighting could quickly overtake them?
No. I'm going to say no because I think that they're going to get to... The World Series of Fighting is going to lose some guys. I think they're going to have guys that can get the call back up. I think they really should have went hard after Askren. That's their biggest mistake, I think. Askren would have been... Askren Palhares would have been great. That would have been a must-see welterweight fight. And they have their own set of issues. I think the one thing both these... And Bellator doesn't do this as much, but I think one thing... The Strikeforce model, even though the Strikeforce struggled a lot in the end, even when under Zuffa, they did the right thing in building out of a certain base in the country. And the World Series of Fighting is going to Canada, going to Brazil. They should stick to a market and build off of there and then kind of just expand from there and do it slowly over time. They're not going to do themselves any favors by going to Brazil. And with Bellator, let's see. I mean, not only is this pissing off Daniel Strauss, but this is they also had to use this to get Curran to sign a contract extension. And they also have pissed off Patrick Fieri, who, you know, probably deserves a rematch more than Curran did when he fought Curran for the title. It's a really messy situation, and Bellator doesn't look too good here.
No, and Bellator hasn't looked good in a while, but you bring up a good point with that untapped market. You know, it's one of these things where Bellator had the right idea where they tapped into that Russian market, a largely untapped market that the UFC is starting to tap into. World Series Fighting going to Canada and Brazil is one of those things that doesn't make sense. Those aren't untapped markets. We know what comes out of Brazil and we know what comes out of Canada. Are they getting more exposure now? Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But it's not as if we've never heard of these things before. They need to find a country of their own.
Not even a country,
just like, something.
They should just make Vegas. Like, they should just stick in Vegas. That's their area of operations. Why not just stay there? Or, you know, New Jersey even. Like, why not do New Jersey? Because one of their execs at Bees has connections to Renzo Gracie. Why not do it in New Jersey? Pipeline guys from Renzo sell it that way.
Kind of like Ring of Combat does.
Yeah, I mean, it's different.
There's nothing wrong with being number two or number three. There's an issue. There's something wrong with thinking you're more than you really are and blowing it all because of that. Yeah. And that's what Bellator's doing. Bellator thinks it's number one. I mean, Chris, you saw that fluff piece that was it Bjorn Rebney and Bellator that basically proclaimed they were the greatest thing in the world. But, you know, there's a problem when you think you're number one or you can't be realistic about where you're at. That's when the issues come in. However, this does wrap up this week's episode.
We're not picking Fox 10?
Fox 10 is the 25th.
Oh, yeah, duh.
So, no, we aren't picking Fox 10.
Yeah. Well, duh. I'm stupid. But I will say that the one thing about that card is that I want to ask you just a question about this. Is this the kind of Fox card we see in 2014? It's, you know, the co-main events, Gabriel Gonzaga and Stipe.
Well, I don't know. I hope not. I think there's a lot of fights that are fun on this card. You know, it's really hard to complain when Cowboy's on card. Stipe's looked outstanding, and Gabriel Gonzaga has looked good, too. Prior to, you know, other than that Travis Brown loss. He's won 5 out of his last 6. 4 out of his last 5 in the UFC. Darren Elkins had been on a roll. They got Sergio Pettis. That's a nice name. Jeremy Stevens. Has anyone looked better than him? Well, other than Alpha Male, has anyone looked better than him? Eddie Wineland. I'm perfectly okay with this being a card I see on Fox.
My point is you're going to see no title fights. That's my prediction. I say you will not see a title fight on Fox this year.
I think you will. I think the flyweights still get put on Fox.
Okay.
However, that does wrap us up for this week now. You know, check us out, Twitter, at CWM Rights. Nikolai _Gianti is mine on Twitter. We'll be back next week, and we will see you all later.